A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant at the G, Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at East River 9. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
The Astros are in Seattle for a huge series against the Mariners, the next three. We talked about the top 100 list for all athletes that ESPN put together this week. A texter, the 281, says the issue with the list, no Altuve.
Great point.
Yeah, that was an oversight for us, but because he's the best. Like, I'm really over this whole engagement farming thing that's happening on social media. People keep posting, because I've seen it gone viral three or four times in the last week since Ken Rosenthal put out his stupid article about Jose Altuve not being at the All-Star game. And it's people saying, is Jose Altuve a Hall of Famer? Yes. He's one of the best second basemen of all time. He is a Hall of Famer, first ballot, no doubt about it.
It's national folks that are doing this, but we did this last offseason, or excuse me, last year as well, where people were like, you know what? Jose Altuve's good.
Like, duh. Watch baseball.
It's been a couple of years, and now there's not as much anger about the sign-stealing incidents as there was in the past. And now we could say, is Altuve good? Because baseball columnists and baseball writers tend to be not exactly the most creative types when it comes to good, fun content. Emphasis on the fun.
Yes. And it just because now they're finally at the point where they know they can't hold 2017 against him because there's no evidence he participated. All of his teammates have said he did not participate. He actually had a problem with it. So now they've all had to come to terms with grips with the fact that, like, oh, like, Jose Altuve is a good dude. Like, all that stuff that we've all known, they're finally admitting. And it's like, yes, he's a Hall of Famer. Yeah, he should be on this list.
Hell yeah. The trade deadline's only a couple of weeks away now. Mm-hmm. Less than 2 weeks, in fact. And we've been touching on this a bit, Joe, that you take a look at the just lack of depth that they have in the starting rotation. I know that there's a chance Luis Garcia's back this year, but probably not for at least a month. There's a chance Lance McCullers is back this year, but probably not for a while. There's a chance Justin Verlander's back this season, but I don't know when the hell that's going to happen either. Their starting rotation is lacking depth. Honestly, there are some arms in the bullpen that you look at, Rafael Montero, who you're thinking, hey, is there a way we can avoid using this guy for the rest of
ever?
The world's history? Yeah, exactly. So the question you ask, can the Astros reach the ALCS again without a major trade deadline move?
I think they're going to win the division this year. At this point, I do lean no, to be honest. That if they don't acquire another starting pitcher, I wouldn't bet on it. I'll put it that way. Because Justin Verlander is a question mark at this point. Lance McCullers doesn't exist anymore. Luis Garcia, like, there's some hope that he's got another rehab start coming up soon. That, like, maybe he can come back and be a contributor. But you got Ronald Blanco and Spencer Arrighetti who are going to pitch more innings than they've ever pitched in their careers. And we saw what happened to Hunter Brown last year. He really tailed off once he crossed that plateau for him. So you have Fromber, who's Fromber. You have Hunter Brown, you have Blanco, you have Verlander. Like, it sounds great, but I'm just not sure you can bank on Blanco and Verlander at this point because of their age, their experience or inexperience, just where they're at. So, yeah, I think they need to add another really quality starting pitcher to this team to get back to the ALCS. I think they're just a guy short from that moment, from that mark.
Who do you think is going to be available?
It's hard to say. It's because this new expanded playoffs, it really makes it.
Everyone thinks they have a chance.
Yeah, I mean, look, you look at the National League right now. You've got three teams who are within a game and a half of the wild card spot. And then past that, there's three more teams that are 3.5 games out of the wild card spot. The Washington Nationals are 44-53. They're 6 games back. So the entire National League, besides two teams, is in the race.
And the American League, same thing. I mean, right now, the Rays are one of 6 teams that are within 5.5 games of the top wild card spot.
A lot of it's going to come down to that last week of July and how, what these teams do. You know, if you're the San Francisco Giants, because Blake Snell's name has come up in a couple articles I've read, is that maybe the Astros, you know, the Giants would pay part of his salary and, you know, the Astros could get Blake Snell like they tried to this offseason. Well, if the Giants win five of their six games for the All-Star break, they're not going to sell. If they lose five of those six, they might. So it's impossible to say right now because there's probably not a pitcher on the Marlins or the Rockies or the Athletics that I would want. Really, yeah. The only guy is Garrett Crochet from the White Sox, and you don't have what it takes to get him.
They're dumb, though, right? I mean, they might.
He's probably going to go for, he probably might be the biggest deadline package, unless Tarek Skubal is traded from the Tigers.
What if you offer to reimburse the White Sox what they paid Martin Maldonado? Would that get you any perks, any points? No.
I think he only made like $500,000.
Yeah,
so.
they're poor, right?
The they White are Sox? Poor. Jerry Reinsdorf's very poor.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe that would help.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's hard to say really who's going to be available. That's why I don't think you can't go into the deadline and expect an ace. Your farm system doesn't represent that trade quality. And just the how competitive it is right now to make the playoffs, I'm not sure you're going to get there. It seems like the Dodgers, who have lost Glasnow again, Dustin May, who they thought was going to come back this year, he tore his esophagus. So now he's out for the season?
Wait, how? How did he tear his esophagus?
He was at like a restaurant. And he started basically choking on his food, I think it said. And then, yeah. Yeah, he tore his esophagus.
Listen, I relate. As someone who's choked on a steak or two,
yes.
Among other things, over the course of my life.
You said that happens to you.
It happens. I don't have a very big throat.
You ever torn your esophagus?
No, but I feel like I've come close to it several times.
Really? From like coughing after? Or
no, I just feel like sometimes I'm trying to eat things and it doesn't go all the way down.
That's scary.
Yeah, it is.
that's scary.
Yeah, I think I have a small esophagus hole. Am I allowed to say that on the air? That sounds graphic.
I mean, I think you can. I've said worse today.
Yeah, you definitely did.
Me?
Yeah, you can't say that word on the air.
Yes, you can.
You can't. You definitely can't.
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
Whatever. Too late now. Cat's out the bag. If Joe goes on another 30-day vacation, you know why. But, yeah, I think they need to make another starting pitcher move. I don't think they need to add a first baseman.
What about a bullpen arm?
Yeah, I just don't say that as major, but yeah, they really do. You can't rely on Montero.
If you had to pick between bullpen arm and starting rotation arm, because I feel like there is a way where you could theoretically say, "All right, we're going to procrastinate when it comes to adding the starting arm." I feel like there's got to be another reliable bullpen guy in there because look, maybe Josh Hader's better next year, but Josh Hader has not been as dominant as you're paying him for.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, with Brian Abreu this year, too, there's been enough moments where you're less comfortable with him than you've been in years past. Ryan Presley's been pitching better of late, but that wasn't the case all year long.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Montero is unusable. And these other guys have been doing well for you, but do you want to use – how many of these guys do you want to use in high-leverage situations? And maybe I'm guilty of just having watched a couple of baseball games that have nothing to do with the Astros. Like, and by a couple, I mean, like, the All-Star game. But Mason Miller on the A's.
Oh, he's so sick.
Yeah, like just give the A's cold hard cash.
That might help them.
They're not trying to win. Yeah, they're trying to pay rent and build a new stadium.
Tell them they can have Austin. They can move to Austin, Texas.
Yeah, I love
it. Sounds like Vegas is going to fall apart.
They can move to San Antonio or
yep.
Austin.
Okay, so I like – so in a world where Ronald Blanco gives you five shutout innings, but you got to take him out in a playoff game, at this point I'm comfortable with going Taylor Scott, Abreu, Presley, Hader for the final four innings. But to your point, I think it would be nice for them to add a good bullpen arm. If you could get an elite guy or someone who's very good, Brian Abreu quality, which you could trade for, that would help a lot because it goes back to the World Series year, when they didn't have they had the best bullpen of all time basically in the playoffs. If you can try to get something similar to that, then you can afford to have Blanco or Hunter Brown go four innings in a playoff game and you're safe. So if you can get an elite bullpen arm, I would take that over a quality starting pitcher.
Okay,
for sure.
I think the Astros should be looking for someone that has an arm that looks like Danielle Hunter. I think you got to find somebody who's got a really vascular arm. I'm just into vascular arms today.
I just don't know if that exists in baseball.
It should.
Unless you're like Adolis Garcia.
I miss vascular arms in baseball. Let's bring them back.
I agree.
What was so wrong with steroids?
Like, nothing.
Give me a guy with like a vein just bulging out of all of his arms.
It's the best era of baseball of our life.
I want my baseball players to look like they can't fit through doors. I want my baseball players to look like twisting their hip would like dislocate their spine because of how much is like just, you know, on the sides. That's what I want. And you know what?
I'm with you, Paul.
That's the American dream.
I stand with you, Paul.
Yeah, to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
And to not be able to turn your head.
Yeah. I like that. Strong neck muscle. It is Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 is how you call in. It's how you text in. Houston Texans training camp day two underway. Not a lot happened today. But there was a really interesting tweet from a Houston Texan of late, and it has us wondering, what is the best football movie ever? We'll discuss that next. Gallant and George at East River 9. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5. Back to Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios located at East River 9.
Got any piping hot Astros Mariners takes? Bring them to the table, baby. It's a Friday. Got to get down on Friday. 713-780-3776 to call, to text, to join us on our YouTube channel at ESPN Houston or on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN 97.5. Houston Texans training camp day two happened as well today. Really, not much to take away from it other than the Texans have been really fortunate with the weather these first 2 days. Yeah. It has been downright pleasant.
No sweating.
Seriously.
Nice and calm.
This has been the nicest two-day stretch I can remember for training camp, and I've been here for 11 of the last 14 years.
Would you, when you were at the flagship, would you go to West Virginia?
You think they fly us out there?
I didn't know.
No. When I was working nights, they didn't take me anywhere.
Oh, okay.
Which is why, like, when certain battles happen between, I don't know, like the morning show and like Josh Innes, I maybe played it down the middle. I'm a hired gun, baby. Jimmy Ward, hired gun by the Texans last offseason. What a transition.
Waste of money.
A waste of money.
If he's a hired gun, that's a bad hire.
Why?
He wasn't on the field a lot.
It's not his fault.
It's his body.
Oh boy, you're on the verge of calling someone soft or glass. We gonna go down that road again?
No, we're not.
I'm not gonna say anything mean unless you say something mean.
No, I'm just saying his body didn't hold up last year.
It's not his fault. You can't control injuries.
You're
this
right.
Idea you can is crazy,
no,
especially in a game like football. But Jimmy Ward, there's a graphic that the Houston Texans posted, and it's like a really over-the-top graphic. It's perhaps a little bit too busy, but it's got Jimmy Ward holding a football in his arm. And it just says, Jimmy Ward's top five football movies of all time. The Program.
Okay.
James Caan. Omar Epps. Friday Night Lights, featuring maybe the greatest performance ever by a supporting actor in a football movie, Derek Luke as Booby Miles, but also Billy Bob Thornton. Varsity Blues, featuring James Vanderbeek. A lot of people think I look like him because I got a squinty face when I smile. Also John Voight.
Okay.
And James Caan's son in that one. And the really fat guy that plays Billy Bob in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
The Waterboy with Adam Sandler.
Okay.
Little Giants with Becky the Icebox, who apparently has gone on to do adult films.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Learn something new every day.
That was some tidbit I remember just dropping on the show. Joe, what is your favorite football movie of all time?
I think I still didn't remember the Titans.
Oh, come on.
I love it.
It's so annoying. It's so Disney.
But I love it.
It's so stereotypical. Hey, we're a football team. Hey, we got some black players, we got some white players. And then we all played together and won games, and the whole town came together and solved racism.
I know, but I still love it. I love Sunshine.
It's a good movie, there's no doubt. I feel like it is put on a pedestal.
Oh, it is, for sure. But, like, well, I think because, like, for me, I what, it came out in 2000, so I was 8. Mm-hmm. So, like, I was, like, that's target audience when it came out.
Ryan Gosling's in it. Supporting role.
Fact.
Turk from Scrubs is in it.
Oh, yeah. I forget about
Petey.
That. Longest Yard.
Which Longest Yard?
With Sandler.
Oh!
I do love.
The original one was better.
It is. It's just been. I've only seen it
Burt
once.
Reynolds,
I think,
baby.
I think I've only seen it once.
It actually doesn't hold up. Comedies don't really hold up particularly
no.
well.
I don't really like the. Obviously, Remember the Titans has like more serious moments, but like The Blind Side, We Are Marshall.
Blind Side's terrible.
I don't really enjoy those. Like,
no.
For some reason, like the mockumentary or whatever it's called, movie style, it doesn't really do it for me a lot of times. And We Are.
What do you mean mockumentary?
It's not mockumentary. Just like where they're just telling this, like they're telling the Blind Side story, biography. Nope.
It's they're always like hammed up, and
yes.
it's always the problem with sports movies recently has become that they all sort of follow the same formula for the most part. Where like, hey, there's a player. He works hard. It's all kind of post-Rocky.
Yeah.
It's been like, there's this person, and man, he's like really trying hard. And then someone comes into their life and helps change it all. Music biopics, I guess.
Yes, that's what I'm looking for.
those have kind of gotten predictable. My favorite is Friday Night Lights. I haven't read the book. I have the book. I have always been meaning to read it, but I put it off. But Friday Night Lights is the most realistic, I think, depiction of high school sports.
I agree.
Obviously, it's a little bit more intense. And in West Texas, with the radio station talking about what's going on for Permian and stuff. But the reason I like Friday Night Lights so much is not because of the Billy Bob Thornton and all his speeches. Boobie Miles in that movie
so
steals every single scene, as does his uncle. And that's why it's my favorite.
I don't know.
The guy who plays Boobie Miles, Derek Luke. Should have won some sort. Like, if there was a sports movie Oscars, he should win the Oscar for that movie. Every single line out of his mouth in that movie is so effing awesome. Like, we talk about like the most Deion Sanders-esque high school football player ever. The depiction of Boobie Miles in Friday Night Lights is top tier.
Do you like look down upon people who like the TV show more?
No, the TV show's great.
Yes, it is.
It's
great,
just totally
yeah.
they're.
It's totally different.
Totally different. Thing.
Yeah, totally
that,
different story.
Friday Night Lights, the TV show, is a soap opera, but I've rewatched Friday Night Lights a lot.
Yeah.
That was next up on when I had no internet on my DVDs, Friday Night Lights season
oh,
one.
Really?
I have that on DVD, yeah.
He has Waterboy on this list, right?
Waterboy is one of his top movies.
I just almost don't view it as a football movie. Like, it is, but it's not.
It's an Adam Sandler movie.
Yeah, like, I love it. It would be in my top five, but, like, it's not a football movie at the same time.
I would put The Replacements up here with Keanu Reeves
because
it's got John Madden in it and Gene Hackman. North Dallas 40, which is one I saw for the first time over the last year. That one was pretty fun. Definitely realistic and
yeah.
a very dark version of what football is. We're talking best football movie ever.
I'm looking at this list. As Invincible.
That's
okay.
The Disney ones all kind of end up being the same vibe-wise
yeah.
for me. I like a little unpredictability. Like, spoiler alert, Friday Night Lights, they lose.
Yeah.
You know?
But if you don't know the story, you just assume they're going to win while you're watching.
You assume they're going to win. The comeback's happening. And, yeah, they come up. They get Kevin Dyson.
I still haven't seen Draft Day yet.
Draft Day is fun. It's not a good movie, but it's fun.
It's really – we talked about this on NFL Draft Day.
Yeah.
How it's become this weird tradition for a lot of sports media, sports radio dudes. They're like, all right, to get ready for the NFL draft, I'm going to watch Draft Day. I'm like, that's not for me. Maybe I'll watch the movie once, but I just can't imagine it's going to be something I watch every single year. Sports movies just aren't as good anymore. It's really sad.
Yeah?
They used to be good, but I feel like when's the last time a good sports movie came out?
Off the top of my head, I'd have to think about
yeah.
the last one. We have a couple of texts here. I wouldn't say it's the best ever, but Any Given Sunday was a good movie, in my opinion.
Agreed.
Oh, yeah. Al Pacino is the head coach. You've got Jamie Foxx, like early Jamie Foxx playing Willie Beeman. Dennis Quaid's the old veteran. Lawrence Taylor, who I guess forgot to register as a sex offender, is a linebacker coach of that movie. Not even kidding. That like I think he's wanted right now because he forgot to register. Yikes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I saw that this morning. I was like, okay. Yeah, Any Given Sunday is good. Cameron Diaz is still throwing 100, and she's the owner of the team. The Shark touchdown dance. Some other texts. Little Giants.
Yeah, I'm not big on Little Giants.
I think it's a good kids movie. Air Bud, Golden Receiver. How can you forget that? I'm kidding. That one's not great. Jason and Champion says Any Given Sunday is the only right answer. Man, I'm surprised by the amount of people that are saying Little Giants.
That's not for me.
I've never heard of the comebacks. Blue Mountain State, the TV series. I did actually watch that fairly
recently. Did you watch the movie?
I don't think I have.
It's not good.
It's not good?
It's not good.
I mean, the guy who plays Jack Reacher now, who also was in the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. Uh-huh. Like, I can't believe he's gone into serious mode as an actor after playing Thad Castle on that show.
And he's supposedly going back. They're bringing it back.
For another one?
Yeah. Oh. Like they're talking about, I don't know what it's going to be. Maybe Thad Castle in the NFL, which, fine. But it is weird that he's such a weird dude in that show, and then now he's a serious. The guy who plays Thad Castle.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's so serious.
It's really interesting seeing him do interviews where he's off the air, and I'm like, oh, like you're really good as an actor.
Yeah.
And you could play this cartoonish character, but you can also do more things. Someone else brings up the program. The program, there's Steve Latimer. Mm-hmm. Steve Latimer, we were talking about, vascular arms. Steve Latimer, vascular arms. Headbutts a car window.
Yes.
Gets popped for PEDs. The program is definitely an enjoyable one.
Eight from the 832, Rudy. Disagree.
It's the Disney. Well, you're.
I mean, Rudy.
But you're a Notre Dame guy.
I don't like it. That movie does nothing for me.
Rudy does get me in my feels.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He's kind of a D when I met him, so maybe that ruined it.
That's what I've heard is that, like,
yeah.
The story of Rudy is not real.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing you have to remember. Because
he was walking around Radio Row at George R. Brown for the Super Bowl when he was here.
Mm-hmm.
And he did an interview with us, and I was like, this guy's kind of a jerk. Like, like it's just this sappy movie, and then you meet the real-life guy, and it's just not the same.
Is he as tall as you?
I'm taller than Rudy.
You're taller than Rudy.
I'm pretty confident I was taller than Rudy.
Oh, I want to do Oklahoma drill against Rudy. You know what's funny? Like, there's been occasionally there's like a walk-on football player like that, like goes to a school, and I think to myself, could I take this guy? Could I take this guy? I want to do Oklahoma drill against Rudy.
Jerry Maguire from the 2A.
Oh, that's a great one.
Yeah,
it's a sentimental one too.
Yeah, it's very good.
Varsity Blues is another texter. If you're from Texas, it's got to be Varsity Blues. Allie Larder in the whipped cream bikini. Strong, independent woman. Although she actually wasn't trying to be a strong, independent woman. She was just trying to grab any quarterback that was getting out of that town that she could.
This list here has Concussion as the third best football movie. I never
Who
saw
Who put
it?
That list together?
It's EW.
Tell the truth.
I haven't seen it. I have that on DVD. That was also on the list of things I could watch when I did not have internet. That movie seems like it's a joke.
Yeah.
And it's probably not much about football as much as it's about the behind the scenes for football. From the 281, someone says Radio. Oh, yeah. Cuba Gooding Jr.
I do love Radio.
Is it good? I've never seen it.
I do love that movie. That's a very Disney-fied movie, but that's a good one.
We're talking best football movies. You got some more. 713-780-3776. Necessary Roughness. Is that the one with Scott Bakula? I think that's the one with Scott Bakula. Because there's Unnecessary Roughness, and there's also Wildcats, which is the one where Goldie Hawn is the coach of the team. And those movies get their wires crossed for me. I honestly cannot differentiate
between the two. You said Scott Bakula?
Movies. Scott Bakula,
yeah, that's
yes.
Necessary Roughness.
Yeah, okay. So there you go, guys. Top football movies. It's on the table all show long. We're here on a Friday. Friday, got to get down on Friday. Also, Astros and Mariners tonight if you want to weigh in on that too. Up next, oh boy. Some interesting stories across the NFL, including all the makings of a race war? You find out why next. Kalani George, stick around.
ESPN
97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Paul Gallant and Joe George.
We are 48 days away from the start of the NFL season. 48, guys. Come on. We're getting closer and closer and closer. 48, another number that's not a great one. There's only one Hall of Famer that has worn 48.
Okay.
His name is Les Richter. Les Richter.
I got nothing for that one.
Les Richter, born 1930, passed away in 1920. He was, it looks like, a Los Angeles Ram.
Okay.
From 1954 to 1962. Four-time first-team All-Pro, three-time second-team All-Pro.
This is a tough list. Man, I'm looking at this one where it's just all these players. I barely recognize any of these names. I thought we might get more better ones. Maybe like 45 and down is really when we'll start rolling. Mm-hmm. Like the elite players.
Yep. As far as number 48 for the Houston Texans, Christian Harris used to wear it. Otherwise, same thing. 48 and 49, two numbers people don't really want to have.
Hmm.
Okay, I said before the break that there's all the makings of a race war in the National Football League. And this is one of those moments where I truly wish that Skip Bayless and Stephen A. Smith
were still together.
Could get back together. So apparently, Troy Aikman has trademarked number 8. But reigning NFL MVP Lamar Jackson is challenging Troy Aikman's use of 8 on apparel and bags. Jackson, who owns and has applied for several trademarks using the number 8 in various phrases, says Aikman's attempt to use 8 on apparel and bags would, quote, be likely to cause confusion or cause mistake or to deceive the purchasing public as to whether they're buying products from Jackson or Aikman's company. Jackson has expended considerable time, effort, and expense in promoting, advertising, and popularizing the number 8 in connection with his personality and fame, and is well known by this number due to his notoriety and fame, along with his promotion of this number in his trademarks and in media coverage. I gotta say,
this is crazy.
In the case of both of these guys, I think you're a real douche if you're trying to trademark
a number.
Because what number do we think of when we think of number 8 in sports?
Kobe.
Exactly.
Like Kobe.
Kobe, who also was number 24 for half of his career, is the only number 8 I think of. Nothing against Troy Aikman. And Troy Aikman was a very good quarterback for those Dallas Cowboys teams. Very good. But we never talk about Troy Aikman as one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. We think of him as one of the winningest quarterbacks of all time. That is not an indictment on Aikman, who he is as a quarterback. Lamar Jackson's a two-time MVP. Lamar Jackson's also had some playoff duds.
Yeah.
You don't get to have number 8. This is the Paul Gallant court of I determine what is and what isn't, and neither Troy Aikman nor Lamar Jackson should have exclusive rights to the number 8. Like,
no.
F off.
I don't even understand.
So I just stopped the race war.
Yeah, I don't even think that's even – this seems illogical. Like is Michael Jordan – is he going to have to fight LeBron James for copyright the number 23? That's so stupid.
See, that's the greatest Jordan debate, LeBron debate of all time.
Well, who gets the rights number 23?
But LeBron's worn number 6 before as well. So
Jordan wore what, 45?
Yeah, but that was almost accidental, right? What was the other one that he wore? 9?
12?
12. Yeah,
that was for a game. 45 was for a season. But I think he wore number 12 for like a game.
Gotcha. Okay. So
this is just stupid. You shouldn't be able to copyright a number.
I'm surprised that you're able to do that. And I also think it's ridiculous to act like Troy Aikman's beer, which I believe is 8.
Uh-huh.
It's the one that he had like a bunch of commercials like, we're not political like Bud Light. Like, we're just really good beer. And like, it's Dallas Cowboy colored.
Maybe
like,
that's why.
Are you going to confuse anything Lamar Jackson with anything Troy Aikman, especially when generally I would imagine purple is associated with anything Lamar Jackson and the Cowboys colors are with Aikman? No. So,
but also, I think that if anything, they both can have it because they use it differently.
Yeah.
Troy Aikman spells his out. Lamar Jackson, it's just the number. Those are different things.
Yeah.
So everyone can win and be happy.
I feel like it's just ridiculous that you can try to
so
copyright or trademark a number. Like, how many other number eights have there been? There's been a lot. Anyway.
You look at this. Like, I'm
looking Who's the best number eight in sports of all time?
It's Kobe. But then you've got Cal Ripken. You've got.
That's what I mean. Like, I know there's.
You've got Alexander Ovechkin. You've got Carl Yastrzemski. You got Yogi Berra.
Yes, that was the one I was thinking of. Like,
you got Joe Morgan. I mean, Andre Dawson.
Steve Young.
Like, there are. I forgot about that. Archie Manning. There are so many great number eights. And Lamar's in probably the top 10-ish.
Ray Guy. Greatest punter of all time.
All right, new rule. You can't trademark a number until you win a Super Bowl. So, Lamar, you're out.
So Troy Aikman gets it.
So, Troy Aikman gets it.
Wow. Joe's siding with the whites in the race war.
I'm siding with winners.
The winners? Okay.
A.K.A. he won Super Bowls.
Yeah, that's fair. I really want to see the online discourse for this.
I need Kobe's wife, late wife, or not late wife.
You need Kobe's wife.
I need Kobe's wife to step in and say, no, this is my number.
Okay, got it.
This is my number.
This is my husband's number. This was Matt the number. Schaub. That was the number before he cheated on her, though.
Good point.
Before he became a changed man.
Maybe she doesn't want it. Twitch points out Matt Schaub.
Ooh, good point.
David Carr.
The original number of Houston Texans quarterbacks. Are they going to retire it? We'll see. Patrick Mahomes showed up for Chiefs training camp, and a lot of people are commenting on how hefty he looks.
He looks fat.
I don't know if I'd say fat.
Maybe with a PH.
I'd say thick with two C's.
So thick with two C's.
But not in like a good thick way. Yeah, he's just. I feel like that shirt's not doing him any favors.
It's not. It's a bad shirt.
I think the shorts probably have a little bit too tight of a waistband.
But Patrick Mahomes, you know, show up to camp looking a little pudgy. Patrick Mahomes bringing a television
Creepy.
To training camp
yeah.
for the first time ever.
Getting fat
so
and happy.
So he can play video games and watch the Olympics.
Mm.
Patrick Mahomes not taking this season seriously.
Opportunity for CJ Stroud.
Hmm.
Huh? There you go.
He does look thick.
Yeah, it's not. I figured he would tighten it up a little bit between the last picture of him that we saw in the locker room and this. But hey, some people get back into shape during training camp. So
we wish
him well.
The first comment under this from the Chiefs Twitter account is from a Bills fan that says, "Built like a lunch lady."
I don't think that's not nice.
That's not nice.
That's unfair.
To Pat.
To Patrick Mahomes, yeah.
Okay.
Still like a lunch lady? No.
I'm just clarifying who it's unfair to.
Listen, nothing against the lunch ladies out there. I'm sure there are some super hot lunch ladies. For the most part, I think of lunch ladies having a little bit more in the old muffin top department, if
yes.
you will.
Yes.
You know? There's a lot of things billowing and sagging. Lawrence Taylor has been arrested once again. He turned himself in Wednesday, facing a felony charge of failing to report a name or residence change as a registered sex offender. He was arrested on similar charges in December of 2021, and his lawyer says it's a result of a misunderstanding. He was declared a sex offender in 2011.
I'll be honest, I didn't know that.
I didn't know he was a sex offender either.
I didn't know that.
Until
today. Yeah.
What? Maybe you should make sure that everyone forgets that and, you know, do your due diligence, especially if you got in trouble for doing this literally 3 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just a thought.
I'm like afraid to Google why.
Yeah, I don't want to know either.
I want to Google
I'm sure it's
why,
terrible.
But I don't really want to know.
No, I don't either. Andre Johnson will speak fourth at the NFL Hall of Fame induction ceremony.
Awesome. So he'll go on last, him and Kubiak. And he should. Look,
he is going to be right in the middle of it.
Oh, I thought someone said he was going on last.
No. He's going fourth. It's Dwight Freeney, Randy Gradishar, Devin Hester, Andre Johnson, Steve McMichael, Julius Peppers, Patrick Willis.
Okay. All
right. Right in the middle. Do it at the beginning.
I thought the video that they put out the other day, I didn't realize they sent him the jacket already.
Oh. Well, he's wearing it, I guess, when he shows up. Yeah, I feel like you should present him with the jacket there, put it on him like it's the Masters. That's where they put the green jacket.
Yeah. See, Ari Mirov or whatever,
the aggregator guy?
He says Andre's going seventh. But who knows? We'll see.
Interesting. The Jets have put 5 on the injured list, and one of them is one of their big offseason acquisitions, Mike Williams. A guy who, remember, the Houston Texans were supposedly. Oh, wait, hang on. That was Keenan Allen. I always confuse the Chargers wide receivers. You know why?
They both get hurt a lot.
Because they're always hurt.
Yeah. I like that move a lot for the Jets if he can stay healthy, but we're going to get him for like 4 games this season probably.
Mm-hmm.
So, not surprising.
So, there you go. That is our NFL countdown to the start of the regular season. We are 48 days away from the start of the season. You want to weigh in on best football movies ever? You can. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. Also, and we'll get back into Astros and Mariners talk as well. If you could have any celebrity speak for you to pump up a group of people, I doubt you're picking Gary Kubiak. Nothing against Gary Kubiak. You're speaking for Andre Johnson. But we had an all-time moment of that last night, which you will hear next. Stick around. Galana, George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
All right, so this morning before we headed over here to East River 9, I got back into the gym for the first time since I was on vacation. And the storm as well. Look, they were like everyone else. They lost power. They got operational. And then I was out of town, so I didn't have a chance to go to the gym recently. But I got back this morning over at O Athletic. Check them out, 767 North Shepherd, oathletic.com. You can hit class schedule and you can see everything they've got going on. And look, here's what they do. They start at 5 o'clock in the morning. They have an open mat Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu class this morning. Then you have an all-level class at 6 a.m. So if you want to give that a shot, you can. You can sign up for personal training while you're there. You want to do it one time a week, 3 times a week. You can do it 5 times a week. There's people who are there every single day when I go, and they're working with the trainer because they're working on getting in shape. And typically, like me, who's doing it every day, they're trying to lose some weight in 2024. So whatever your goals are, O Athletic can help you accomplish. Check them out, oathletic.com, and at 767 North Shepherd in the Heights.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. It's Galant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at East River 9. Here's Paul Galant and Joe George.
Astros and Mariners back at it tonight, 9 o'clock in Seattle. It's Hunter Brown on the hill against Luis Castillo. Mariners are 5-2 against the Astros this year. They are 14-6 against Houston going back to the 2022 ALDS where the Astros swept Seattle. So on the table, if you want to talk about that, I'm kind of at the point now, Joe, where I really just want this series to begin. I think that things have changed dramatically since where we were when that series that the Astros and Mariners played at the end of May wrapped up. Seattle won 3-4. Houston won the last game. No Kyle Tucker for the majority of that stretch since, but ever since the Astros got rid of Jose Abreu, when we were right here at East River 9, things have been a lot better.
Yeah, they've been much, much better, and we'll see if that can continue tonight. Like you mentioned this earlier, they're just not the best, you know, last two series versus the Twins versus the Rangers on the weekends at least. And this is an interesting one for Hunter Brown because, you know, it was a good start against Texas. He went 5 innings, gave up 2 runs.
But the twin start was rough.
Yeah, the twin start was rough. So it's, you know, can he bounce back again and continue that streak? We talked a lot about, you know, pre-All-Star break, about who is Hunter Brown? What do you believe in? Do you believe he can be this guy for continuous stretch? Him having a strong performance in tonight's game would go a long way for, I think, our confidence in that.
And the other thing is, too, I mean, if he has a bad performance against Seattle's offense, that will make us feel a little bit more nervous. I expect him to do pretty well tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle's offense has been a mess for a while. Maybe coming out of the All-Star break, they hit better. But for what it's worth, Julio Rodriguez has been hitting better, but he has been largely disappointing this year because that was a guy that a lot of people were trying to push up into the Mike Trout category.
It was an MVP. He had good MVP odds this year where it was, you could get value on him at the beginning of the season, but it wasn't a huge overpay in terms of price of what he was. So a lot of people went on Julio Rodriguez for, you know, MVP. But then again, you know, the public is dumb because they bet on things like Bronny James to win Rookie of the Year for some reason. But it's just, we'll see how this series goes. But I would really, 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 really like them to get 2 wins.
2 wins would be nice.
2 wins would be very nice.
Are you demanding 2 wins?
I'm demanding 2 wins.
There we go.
I demand the Houston Astros win 2 games this weekend. against the Mariners. Do you want to up that?
Or? Give me a sweep.
I was like,
give me my sweep.
I want another sweep. Come on. You swept the Orioles. You could sweep the Seattle Mariners.
Fact.
Take the AL West by force. Speaking of force, I got to say, the Republican National Convention, regardless of politics, I mean, in a week without sports, it has been a force when it comes to entertainment.
Yeah, last night was incredible.
I mean, there we go. I thought we heard Rick Derringer in the background.
The fact that they brought Hulk Hogan out, not just to his music, but the fact that they played the WWE Titantron intro was incredible.
I am but a real American.
My favorite part, though, was before it started and Kid Rock did a performance, and there was like 15 people in the crowd, and that was it.
That
made me laugh even more. But well, I love the Hulkster.
Well, Hulk Hogan gave a 10-minute speech, I think, for former President Donald Trump. And this part was where he went Hulk mode and ripped his shirt off while Donald Trump is looking on like he's got a pants tent.
Enough was enough. And I said, let Trumpomania run wild, brother. Let Trumpomania rule again. Let Trumpomania make America great again.
Man, this convention has delivered as far as just sheer entertainment. There was somebody that was behind Trump that went viral because she was adjusting herself.
What do you think about the...
Is that his daughter-in-law?
I think the best part is the people who are wearing the bandages on their ears.
Ooh, I like that. This is a new mask.
This is a new mask.
Well, the one side wears the masks on their face still as a political statement. I'm going to put a bandage on my head.
It's so funny that they're just like, have these bandages on their ears. I'm like, guys, you don't... I know you're supportive, but you don't need to do that. That's weird.
I really like that we've gotten to the point where this is American politics. I like it. I feel like the Libbies, they got to do their own fun thing. Although I think they already had their convention.
Well, The Rock already said no to support him. So
there's got to be another person they can bring out. Yeah, there's very few people that I think would be able to pump up a crowd on the level that Hulk Hogan did. And what's funny, I was looking for all the best moments from Hulk Hogan at the Republican National Convention.
Yeah.
And this clip of Hulk Hogan talking about Donald Trump popped up. This is all time.
See, thank God Donald Trump's a hulkamaniac. He'll know enough to let go of his materialistic possessions, hang on to the wife and kids, dog paddle with his life all the way to safety. But Donald, if something happens, you run out of gas, and all those little hulkamaniacs run out of gas, just hang on to the largest back in the world, and I'll dog paddle us, backstroke all of us to safety.
Oh, and thank you, Hulk Hogan. Let's get back to action.
I have no idea what he was talking about there, but that was Hulk talking about Donald Trump in like the late 80s, early 90s.
The only thing I was really disappointed with last night is that there was I don't know, Brian, you might remember the timeline better than I do, but it was like post 9/11. They, you know, in the story, fired Hogan, I think it was. And then Mr. America
shows up.
And he would.
With the red, white, and blue luchador mask?
Yeah, he had a red, white, and blue luchador mask. And he would wear it. And it was obviously Hulk. And it was like this stupid, stupid storyline. But I wish he would have shown up in his Mr. America luchador mask yesterday for Donald Trump. I think it would have been even funnier if he would have done that. But it was highly comedic. I enjoyed all of that.
It would be pretty funny. And then he's wearing a luchador mask and he says build a wall at the same time.
Yeah.
You know? Got to keep him guessing. It's hard to imagine somebody other than Tom Brady with the speech that he gave at his Patriots Hall of Fame induction ceremony this summer. It's hard to imagine somebody rallying people on a level that Hulk Hogan can. Like, that's kind of a cheat code.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Like, who could?
Al Pacino, but the Al Pacino you're getting in 2024 isn't delivering.
Yeah, because Hogan's pretty old, but he's still got the WWE promo in his bag.
And he still looks yoked, too. Yeah.
Stone Cold Steve Austin, I think, could do it.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Good call.
Noted cat dad, Stone Cold Steve Austin. I mean, the funny thing is, a lot of them are wrestlers. I think some people would say Ric Flair, who was mad he wasn't included in ESPN's Top 100 Athletes list.
I don't know if Flair could do it now. He could have done it 10 years ago. He's lost it.
I don't know if The Rock is doing it, because The Rock is a villain. From a wrestling perspective, right?
Like, yeah, recently.
The Rock was the villain.
Yeah,
like, that character. I don't know if he is quite as getting everybody on your side as the Hulkster
right now, because he's so popular in everything he does. If they did the full thing where they played the music, and if you smell where The Rock is cooking and coming out, like, that would get the people going.
I mean, he does go by the People's Champ, so I think that could work.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do feel like it looked mostly awkward in the crowd, though. I think you could tell a lot of people there were just like, what is happening right now? But
yeah,
I loved
dorks.
It. But I loved it.
Yeah. Real dorks?
We need more wrestling in politics.
It already is wrestling at this point.
Donald Trump, WrestleMania.
It's just
he was there.
It's performative trash talk. It's performative trash talk. And on top of the performative trash talk, like, they're all friends behind the scenes.
Yeah.
You know? Anyway, Golan and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. You want to jump in? 713-780-3776. It's how you call. It's how you text if you want to weigh in on the Astros and Mariners upcoming weekend series. Have you got any questions from Houston Texans training camp? Maybe we need a deep steel blue pill in our lives since it is a Friday. It got to get down on Friday. We will give you one. Stick around. Golan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 at East River 9.
ESPN 97.5.
And I got what it takes to rock the mic right, yeah.
Rock the Mic is back.
This is gonna be good.
And it's time to find the newest Houston sports podcast. The winner of Rock the Mic will receive a podcast hosted on the ESPN Houston YouTube channel.
Really? What, the YouTube?
Whether you host a podcast currently or have always wanted to start one, now's your chance. To enter, send a 3 to 5 minute video giving your best Houston sports take to rockthemic975@gmail.com. That's rockthemic975@gmail.com. Enter solo or with a co-host. The winner will be announced at our live finale on Friday, August 23rd at Carbach Brewery. So send your entries in now to rockthemic975@gmail.com.
Got what it takes to rock the mic right.